Morning. My name's Andy Reid. I am part of the leadership of River Church. With my wife Lina, we've been around for some considerable number of years, but it's really good to see a number of you looking around that I don't recognise. That's the clue that you probably don't know who I am. So you're very welcome here this morning. And we thanked loads of people this morning, and that's always a good thing to do. Let's thank Matt for the way he's been leading us through as well. Really good. You've done this lots, Matt, or?
Second time.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah. You know they always joke, don't they, stand-up comedians, when someone says, oh, thanks, Mum. That actually is his mum, so there we go. Good. Well, for those of you that haven't been around, and for those of you that have, but maybe it may have passed you by, in the congregation here in Maidenhead, for the last number of weeks, we've been going through, you've been going through the book of Ephesians, and it being the summer and people coming in and out on holidays and so on, there's a bit of a sila, bit of a break from that, bit of a break from that during August, going through in detail, but the speakers, you there, great. The speakers during August are going to be basing what they do on sort of themes in Ephesians, and then in September, I've just been reminded looking at the notice sheet, I'm picking it up again on September the 5th. So, I'm sure I did know that. So this morning I'm going to be talking sort of loosely from the book of Ephesians, from one particular verse, and also delving into one or two other things. I'm actually really, I spoke on Ephesians from Ephesians chapter 2 a few weeks ago, and I'm kind of picking it up a little bit where I left off there. But before I go any further, I need to issue a government health warning on this talk. Now, the reason for that is that my wife Lina and I returned yesterday morning from 2 weeks in Malawi. And there we were engaged on a program organized by a charity called Links International. Some of you will have heard of, Lina is actually a trustee of Links. I help with the magazine and we've been connected with Links for a while. And we were involved on a program delivering community health care and micro enterprise development training and education training over the course of 2 weeks in two areas of Malawi. And in a few moments, I'm going to be showing you inevitably some pictures from that. But the government health warning is that when you come, the kind of received wisdom is that when you, Julian will know this, when you, and Annie, when you return back to England from somewhere where you've perhaps seen great need, and you've been very impacted by that, the received wisdom is you shouldn't really be allowed to preach for at least 2 or 3 weeks. Because the poor, or a year. Because the poor congregation are going to get it right between the eyes. And they let me preach this morning. So the government health warning is, if you kind of, it being August, would prefer not to be challenged, I'm sure Elaine could give you some coffee now and you could leave or go and get some fresh air. Okay, it's your own fault. You were given the chance. So a few words of explanation before I show you the pictures and hope the technology works. We were, as I say, in Malawi. We are actually in two areas. First of all, in the north of the country, north-ish, at a place called Kandy, which sounds very sweet, but it isn't, although it's very beautiful. And then we were in a village on the outskirts of the capital, Lilongwe. I will talk a little bit, refer a little bit to some of the stuff we saw as it is relevant to what I am saying as we go through. But first of all, just to sort of a few words of explanation before you see the pictures to help them make a bit more sense to you. We were, as I say, with a team delivering a community healthcare program and some micro-enterprise development training. You will see people sitting around in the pictures under shade tree. When I thought there was only going to be a few of us here, I was very tempted to get you all sat down in a circle because I'd have felt a little bit more at home after the last couple of weeks. And if we could have taken you outside in the sunshine, that would have been good. So you'll see people sitting around receiving training. You'll see a contraption. In fact, you'll see two different versions of the same contraption, a thing called a tippy, which is a way of people washing their hands without touching anything when they use the latrine. It's a very basic bit of equipment, but a very effective one. Towards about halfway through, you'll see a couple of people who look a bit smarter than everyone else using one of those as a kind of a demonstration. That one of those guys is a sort of an area chief, a guy called Chief Chapsinga, who I'll talk about a little bit later on. And the other guy is an even more important person called the traditional authority, which is a sort of an old tribal thing, basically, but he's responsible for a very wide area around Lilongwe. You'll see the way that really we ought to receive certificates if we're ever given any towards the end. If ever we have any sort of presentation ceremony, award ceremony, I'd love to see us mirroring what they do when they get certificates. And you will also see a little bit of practice for that with some of the ladies practicing the songs that they were going to sing during that time. And you'll see one or two interlopers there, one of whom you might recognise. I did warn her I was going to show this clip. And finally, just to say, the kind of soundtrack in the background, the singing, is all just stuff I recorded while we were out there. When you arrive somewhere, they sing to you. When you start worshipping, they sing in the most incredible way. When you're leaving, they don't really want you to go, and they sing to you, and there's always singing going on. So that's probably enough explanation. Let's see if I can actually make this thing work. Let me just... the last lady, during that ceremony, she was one of two people doing feedback. When you saw them holding up big sheets of paper, that was their action plans. That they don't just sit and listen, they actually plan and they then go and do stuff in their villages. We were kind of training the people who are going to be doing stuff out in the villages. And the lady, just the very last lady, small lady, as part of the action plan, she and the lady presenting with her, their group were going to go out and do some stuff in the villages about pregnancy and childbirth. And one of their points on their action plan was, which she then presented in front of, the guys at the front were all village chiefs and area chiefs and village headmen and so on. And one of the points was, tell the women not to go to the witch doctor. Now, that kind of sounds obvious sitting here in the hall, but for them that's a big, big thing. And for her to stand up and say that in front of the chiefs took enormous courage. So she deserved every second of dancing down to get that certificate. The witch doctors give them stuff to eat, sort of a potion, which is, we weren't quite sure exactly what went into it, apart from feces, apparently, but it's not a good thing for a pregnant woman to be having, quite apart from the spiritual significance. When you sort of have a nice picture on a glossy screen, it doesn't always portray the dust and the dirt and all the rest of it. They're fantastic people, but they live in, particularly in the village there, in very, very poor circumstances. And we felt very humbled because so many of them also have an amazing faith. I can't tell you what all the songs were saying, but I do know a lot of them were songs of worship and praise to Jesus. So let's look at Ephesians and let's see why that's relevant to us this morning. When I spoke from Ephesians, chapter 2, and I just want to pick it up there in verse 4 of chapter 2 if you've got a Bible. God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, with which he loves those people there you've just seen, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. as Matt said at the beginning, he loves you because he loves you. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In chapter 1, Paul in this letter has been, first of all, says how God the Father raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. And here he mirrors that with what he says has happened to us. We were dead, just as dead as Christ was in the tomb, in reality. And yet he has raised us up together with him and seated us in the heavenly places, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. May I just pause there and say, that is the most important thing to start with. To know that. Not just as head knowledge, but as heart reality. That we have been raised from the dead with Christ. And we are seated with him. That we have been adopted into the family. As I joined the prayer meeting that happens every Sunday morning, this morning, as I walked up and joined the group, Peter Kingston was praying. And just was praying, first of all, he said, about the joy, the freedom of being part of the family of God. And that was a great blessing. I meant to catch you before the meeting, Peter, and say what a blessing it was, because the first two lines I heard you pray basically were my talk this morning. First of all, the freedom of being part of the family of God, the security of that. The knowledge of that. We are royalty in Christ. Each one of us. And if that is not deeply rooted in your heart, can I just ask you to sort of tune me out for the next 20 minutes. And just spend that 20 minutes thinking about that and praying. Because if you haven't got that rooted in your heart, then actually there is the danger you will mishear the rest of what I'm going to say. And it will be something which will condemn you rather than challenge you. So in all seriousness, that is where we must start, with that knowledge of who we are in Christ. That it is not of works, lest anyone should boast. That it is by grace we have been saved. Okay, I'm now assuming that everyone who is still listening to me has kind of got that, to some extent, rooted in your heart. Because the next verse says this, for we are his workmanship, or as I said a few weeks ago, you could translate that as his poetry. We are God's poetry here on earth. Created in Christ Jesus to have a really good time. And just kind of sit around and just enjoy that. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I gave this talk a little title, and it says this, the responsibilities of royalty. Royalty has responsibilities. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We are royalty. And with power, with royalty comes responsibility. Luke 12, Jesus tells the parable of the talents, and he says, those to whom much is given, much is expected. And that's kind of countercultural, because the culture really says, let's see if we can get the shortcut to the place of most power and authority, and then just kind of live the dream, as they say. Well, at least that's kind of part of the culture, although the other part of the culture is if someone else has got it and we don't like what they're doing, then we can be very, very hard on them in England and be quite cynical and want to kind of cut their feet away from them. But the truth is, with power does come responsibility. And God has prepared good stuff for each one of us to do. And it's not a to-do list. It's not a tightrope. I don't believe that God has a to-do list for each one of us up in heaven, sort of individually assigned. And if we don't manage to get all the ticks and all the boxes on the to-do list, then he's going to be really, really cross with us. I don't think it's like that. I think it's that God, out of his heart, out of his grace, out of his mercy, out of his exceedingly great love with which he loves this world, has just got good stuff that he wants to be shared with the world. Good works prepared in advance for us to do. It's out there if we ask him. It's not a strict to-do list. But it is a grace list of stuff with which he wants us to bless the world. Because we have been given so much. And with royalty comes responsibility. All that he needs is our willingness. You see, it sounds a little bit flash, doesn't it? You know, I've been to Malawi, and Lionel, we've been to Malawi, and we've seen this stuff, and we've done this stuff, and isn't that great? I mean, you just need to know, I don't regard myself as much more than a tourist when we go and do this stuff. Because, you know, we didn't do what Julian and Annie did when we actually lived there. And yes, some of the accommodation was a bit basic, and yes, it was dusty when we were there during the day and all the rest of it. But for some of the time, we had running water in the hotel anyway. And it wasn't much more than tourism, but it was something. But before we went, those to whom I was sort of close and who were my friends and stuff, I was quite honest about the fact that actually I wasn't that looking forward to going. I kind of said, well, it's this sort of Linus thing more than me, but I'm really happy to go and support her and be with her in doing this. But you know, when you get out there, it changes. But I was a bit nervous. We thought we were going to go and join in with the community healthcare program, and neither of us are of medics or anything like that, and we did it last year and we felt a bit inadequate, and we sort of thought, well, I wonder if we've learnt any more this year, and didn't really feel we had. And actually, when it came to it, I guess God had other plans. We took part in the training some people trying to run really, really small businesses with really small loans, really, really small loans, 5,000 kwacha, which is about 25 quid. And one of the people you saw was selling fish caught in Lake Malawi. I felt very inadequate. But this verse at the beginning of our trip just came back to me. God has stored up stuff for you to walk in, Andy, over this next 2 weeks. There is good stuff that you can walk in if only you are just willing and open yourself and ask him. And the reality is, we don't have to travel X thousand miles for that to be true. God has got good stuff for each one of us to share with the world he wants to bless. This afternoon, some of you might want to go and be with Dave and the others out in Larchfield Park. I know a number of you experienced that a few weeks ago at the sort of Larchfield weekend, which I was just so impressed, all the stories I heard from that, and well done all of you, really, really well done. And it might be the good works stored up in advance are just for you to share with the person literally next door to you. It might be on Larchfield, it might be on the other side of the world, we'll come back to that in a moment. He just needs our willingness to serve people. And, you know, particularly in churches like ours, we can tend to shy away from that word works, because we kind of get confused and we sort of think, well, I didn't think it was about works, we thought it was about grace. And it is. But of course, the reality is Paul talks about both in this passage. On the foundation of God's grace and what he's done for us, we need to understand that there's also stuff he wants us to do, because he wants to bless this world. Of course it's about grace. Of course it's not about works. But both are there. There's a passage in James. Says this, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Don't just listen to God's word. It's James 1, 22 to 27. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. If you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into, now listen to this, the perfect law that sets you free. This isn't about bondage, this is about freedom. If you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious, I don't know, that's not a word we often use, but if you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. The message says, real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this. Reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight and guard against corruption from the godless world. We are here to make a difference. We are here to be the difference. We've been promoted in Christ from death into life, from hopelessness into hope, from the lowliest place to the throne room. What are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with that? Are we going to be like a kind of spiritualized Prince Regent? Do you know, I'm not a historian, but you know, Prince Regent, George IV, responsible for actually some, you know, quite pretty architecture around, you know, but Regency, all the rest of it, Regency architecture. But, and as I say, I'm not a historian, so I have to resort to Wikipedia, but here's what Wikipedia says about George IV. His charm and culture earned him the title the First Gentleman of England. But his bad relations with his wife and father and his dissolute way of life earned him the contempt of the people and dimmed the prestige of the monarchy. Taxpayers were angry at his wasteful spending in time of war. He did not provide national leadership in time of crisis, nor a role model for his people. His ministers found his behaviour selfish, unreliable, and irresponsible. At all times, he was much under the influence of favourites. With royalty comes responsibility. We've been promoted to the throne room. Now what are we going to do with it? Just one more text and then we're going to pray. It's a text that I've preached on before here when we were thinking about giving. And it is a text that in all honesty does in its original context relate to finance. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. Let me read it to you first of all. This is from the New American Standard Bible. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. It's a verse that actually referred to a few times when we were doing the training for the people running their small businesses, because there's a very important principle there, actually. You know, biblical principles work. They just work. It says here that God supplies both seed for the sower and also bread for food. In other words, God supplies to us But that supply kind of does break down in two ways. There's that which is for us to consume now, that's the bread for food. But there's also that which we're meant to sow again. In the business context, we were explaining to these people who had never had any training about how to run a business, that actually, when you make money with your business, there's that which is for you now, and there's that which needs to be reinvested back into the business so that the business can grow and carry on sustaining you. The seed for sowing. But it's got a wider meaning for all of us. God blesses us over and over and over again because he loves us. But you know, I believe this principle of this verse applies. There's that which is for us just to enjoy and be sustained by. And that we should be absolutely rejoicing in. And there is that which we are meant to sow back in order that that blessing can be multiplied. And not just multiplied for us, but multiplied so we can show, as it says here, great liberality and bless others. So what have you been blessed by? What has God given you? What is the seed that he's given you? Yeah, he's given you bread, and that's for you to enjoy. With no bad conscience about that. Enjoy it because he loves to bless you. He's your father. But what seed has he given you to sow? What seed is in your hand? See, the trouble is, if you consume the seed, it doesn't grow. It doesn't multiply. And others are not blessed. God's given us stuff. Stuff for us and stuff to sow. Stuff to sow for, as it says in James, the homeless and the loveless. Literally and metaphorically. Those people who we might find next door, or we might find somewhere else. You know, there is actually nothing like going away out of your comfort zone to make you just see things with greater clarity. And also to be grateful all over again. Since we got back yesterday morning, I have, you'll be pleased to hear, cleaned my teeth a number of times. Every time I've cleaned my teeth in the last 24 hours, I've kind of hesitated before rinsing my mouth out from the tap. Because you don't do that, do you? Because the water isn't clean, if there's any water flowing. And you would get ill. And each time I've cleaned my teeth, I have been grateful all over again. That I have a simple thing like clean water. Why should I have that blessing if they don't? And we try to do something about some of that. But you know, I've been grateful all over again. And I don't want to stop. You know, I kind of made a decision yesterday that every time I clean my teeth, I want to try and remember to be grateful for something that I take for granted. It's good to be grateful, isn't it? And you kind of see that when you go somewhere else. So, I'm sorry, this isn't a very nice, happy, jolly August talk, is it? But I just wanted to share a bit of a challenge, really. Where are we going to sow our seed? What are we going to give away that God has given us to give away? What are the good works that we're going to walk in? Not try and sum it up and, you know, because we've got to do this stuff to earn favour with God. No, we are royalty, but with royalty comes responsibility. With royalty comes responsibility. Where are we going to do that? And for some of us, maybe that does mean, you know, August is kind of leading up to the new academic year. And even though I know the year begins in January, often we do tend to think of the new year in the autumn. And maybe just during this August, we want to think about, as the new year approaches, what opportunities are we going to take up to perhaps get some new experiences, to bless people somewhere else that we've never been before, to be challenged afresh, And, you know, within the church, there's various opportunities to do that. Big year trip associated with that. Sutu, Nepal. Links International run teams throughout the year to all sorts of places in Africa and India. And you don't have to be a healthcare expert or a business expert, although we have got business experts here, and educationalists, vocational training they're looking at doing, people with practical skills, just a willingness to go and bless others. But the good works are there, stored up in advance for us to walk in. And I just want to spend a few minutes now asking you just to close your eyes and allow God to speak. Because for some of us this will be a process and we need to think about it over the weeks and months. And God's going to surprise us during that time. But I believe there's things he wants to say this morning. Not out of condemnation. But there is a challenge. The challenge of responsibility. The responsibility of royalty. How are we going to bless others? Let's just be quiet. I'll shut up. And let's allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us.